This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. This is Straight Fire for Tuesday, November 9th. I hope you guys are recovered from as wild of a Monday in sports as I can recall in quite some time. And I'm not just talking about Monday Night Football. I'm talking about the fight in the NBA. I'm talking about Steph Curry exploding against the Atlanta Hawks. He went absolutely berserk. I'm talking about Damon Arnette of the Raiders. You guys don't even know who he is because he barely plays. He's not good. Losing his job in the NFL over some random dude who tweeted at him. I mean, what are we doing? Like, it's just sports have gotten crazy. I don't know if we're coming out of COVID and we're slowly emerging from this long hibernation. And now we're just getting back to normal where people are doing just dumb, insanely foolish things. I'll just say this. I cannot wait to talk in a few minutes about the Jokic fight against the Morris twin, one of the dirty Morris twins, and then Jimmy Butler trying to fight the Jokic brothers, who, as somebody said on social media, they're not scared of anybody in a basketball court. They grew up throwing rocks at tanks. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what happened in Serbia, but goodness gracious, the NBA stays exciting. But I have to start with the Steelers getting lucky to defeat the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. And even if you don't really care about this game, and you don't really care about the officiating because you don't want to be official guy, blame the refs guy. And I don't want to be that guy. I really don't. But there's no other way to open the Monday Night Football result outside of gambling, which I'll get to in a sec, with what the hell are the refs doing in the NFL? This taunting stuff is complete nonsense. I don't know where the insistence of we got to curb this taunting and trash talk. Like, where was the who said there was a need for that? Is this a bunch of rich white guys who are the owners saying our league's getting a little too street there with the trash talk and the taunting and the finger pointing and the throat slash gestures? Like, there was nobody saying that was a thing. And now the NFL's going overboard and you've got officials looking and waiting and looking and throwing dumb flags, ruining what could be a great product. I'll tell you right now, the Chicago Bears nearly pulled that game out thanks to Justin Fields, who was phenomenal. Justin Fields against a pretty damn good defense looked like an NFL quarterback. You know, we watched Jordan Love Sunday against the Chiefs, like, whoa, deer in the headlights. Justin Fields is like, okay, I get this. I'm going through my progressions. I've got time in the pocket. The Bears' offensive line actually was serviceable. And just a phenomenal performance by Fields to keep him in the game. And the refs just can't stop throwing flags on the Bears. I mean, 12 penalties for 115 yards on the Bears. And it didn't totally impact the game, but with like 5 minutes left, the Bears' defense should have got off the field and the Cassius Marsh taunting. He didn't say a word. He did like a karate kick to the air. What's wrong with that? And then he looked at the Steelers sideline. You can, the cameras caught him. Like, you could see his face. He's just staring like, yeah. He didn't say a word. He's just staring at the sideline. Turns around. The ref was watching him the whole time. Then the ref initiates contact by backing into him and then throws the flag. It's like, what on earth is that? And again, I'm not blame the ref guy because everybody hates blame the ref guy. It's like, come on, get over it, you know? And it was just like, I can't really believe he did that in that juncture, gave Pittsburgh the first down. They ended up getting the ball back, the Bears did, and they took the lead briefly before Big Ben pulled out the win. But I think the only takeaway from this outside of the taunting nonsense is the best quarterback on the field on Monday Night Football was Justin Fields. There's no doubt about that. I mean, averaging 10 yards per attempt while Dink and Dunk Roethlisberger, 30 pass attempts, 200 yards. Like, he looks like a refrigerator in the pocket. He can't move. He was able to scramble for a couple yards, trying to get that first down there at the end of the game when they kicked the field goal. But the Steelers just are not a good football team. The Bears, they weren't good heading into the fourth, and then, of course, the Steelers' defense falls asleep. And this is the problem with gambling on the NFL right now. And I'm not talking about the taunting stuff. Like, you could have read a game and diagnosed it perfectly, handicapped it to the T. Perfection. Steelers, Bears, dead nut under. It's 20-6 heading into the fourth quarter. The Steelers really locking up the Bears and feeling good about the under 39, under 40, whatever it was. Feeling good about the Steelers covering 7. And then just chaos erupts in the fourth quarter. Just total fluky 30 points in the fourth. Blows the under out of the water. And again, if you had the under in Saints-Falcons, same deal. I think it was 24-6 with like 11 minutes left. Under looking great. And then there was like 27 points in the fourth quarter. It's like, really? It can be so frustrating to gamble on these games. Steelers should have easily covered 7. And then you look in the box score and you're like, well, actually, should they have? I mean, the Bears had 414 yards to 280. The Bears averaged 7.1 yards per play. They were getting chunk after chunk. The Steelers were 4.2 yards per play. Basically, 4 yards in a cloud of dust. Najee Harris looked pretty good, although, in a funny note, Najee Harris was not thrilled at the announcer, who I think, Rob G can check me on this, I think it was Steve Levy. And first of all, Steve Levy told this like 2-minute story about Najee Harris sleeping on the floor at Alabama. And Najee Harris, after the game last night, goes on social media, is like, bruh, I ain't sleep on no floor. I slept in a bed. And it's like, okay, that was bad enough, calling out the announcer for that. But it gets even worse. The announcer has like an angle on the Bears had like a 66-yard field goal to try to win the game. And he goes, off the crossbar, the doink gets short, Steelers win. And then the replay shows it was like not even close to the crossbar. It was like 8 yards short. It was like in the end zone. And it was like, how did he see that? And then he had to adjust to be like, oh, my bad. I got that kind of wrong. But I don't know. Just all around bizarre game. A little frustrating from a gambling standpoint. Listen, if you teased it, you're fine. The Steelers were able to cover 1 on the tease. And listen, this was not a great weekend for teasers for the gamblers out there. But you can't win teasing the entire season. Okay, that's not how, 10 weeks, I think I'm probably like 7-3 weeks of hitting teasers. But straight up, this past weekend was a rough one. So Steelers survive. They are fully in the playoff mix in the AFC. We ran down the AFC on Monday. And if you look at the standings, 11 teams are above 500. The entire AFC North, the entire AFC West, and then the Titans, Bills, and Patriots. This is just pure insanity. And we are only at the halfway mark of the season. Steelers, by the way, 5-3 record, -8 point differential. Not great. Now, the Chargers are 5-3, -2 point differential. Chiefs have a negative point differential. Rob G's Raiders, +7. They have a huge game against the Chiefs this week. We'll spend a lot of time on that. By the way, we have a really good gambler coming up on the pod tomorrow. So definitely flag that. You already subscribe, rate, and review as you're supposed to do. But tomorrow's pod will be heavy on the NFL gambling. I quickly want to talk, Rob G, I've got to ask you about this. Your Raiders have had a rough week. Okay, Henry Ruggs kills somebody driving 156 miles an hour in Vegas. He's going to prison, probably. He was drunk. And their 2020, one of their 2020 first-round draft picks, Damon Arnett, has been released by the Raiders for threats he made to someone online. And Rob, I was kind of poking around on this. I'm like, what are you, threats? Who's he threatening? Random fans get angry at NFL players and yell at them on social media. And really idiotic fans decide, I'm going to DM these guys and tell them that they suck. Well, that's not really smart. So apparently Damon Arnett, Ohio State education, NFL player, is unhappy that someone got in his DMs and said, you suck. By the way, people tell me this like 10 times a day. I don't really care. My theory is nobody comes up to your face and says you suck in life. Nobody's yelling at you in the streets. They don't do that at bars. It just doesn't happen. So why would I let people do it to me on social media? So I just block them. I have no problem. I just block them. I don't care. I'm not going to let these people I don't even know bother me. You know, you got to have a little bit of confidence in yourself and not let these random jabronis get you down. Not Damon Arnett. He decided to take a video of himself with a gun and send it to the guy. So then this meatball tough guy who was talking trash 5 minutes ago is like, Damon Arnett, he sent me a threat. It's like, really? David Arnett got released. Now, Rob, before you chime in, I have to admit laughing out loud at this. Ian Rappaport sent this out on Monday. And according to the NFL Network reporter, in Arnett's first year in the NFL, he crashed 4 rental cars within roughly a month. 4 rental cars in a month. I don't know why an NFL first round pick is driving a rental car. But he not only drove one, he drove 4, and he crashed 4 rental cars. So, Rob, I'll let you take it away there as the resident Raiders fan. Defend your franchise, which is crumbling as we speak.
Okay. I mean, I wish you would have told me to defend them, you know, after a win or something like that. Maybe to defend it after a
no, come on.
Damon Arnett situation. As far as the rental car situation, I just hope he got the insurance. All right? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Nobody gets the insurance.
No. So I promise you that he had to pay a lot more than he expected. Look, Damon Arnett was a reach from the beginning. Now, I can't even say that this is surprising to me, given that at around the combine and the draft time when all this was coming up, the consensus on him was, yes, he has starting NFL cornerback talent, but he does have some red flags with character. That was an open secret. You can read whoever your favorite draft analyst is. Pick your guy, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, Dane Brugler, whoever. And to a man, they all had the same thing. So it's not really surprising that something like this would pop off. I will say it's just disappointing that so many people in the media, and you didn't really do this, but you kind of just telling the story, are lumping in this Damon Arnett situation with the Henry Ruggs situation because they were both first round picks in 2020. They're both no longer with the team. As if the two are in any way related. Damon Arnett, everybody knew who he was. He was kind of a head case, a bad apple, so to speak. So nobody was really surprised at what went down. Henry Ruggs, ask all his teammates with the Raiders, ask all his teammates in Alabama, ask anyone who knows him. He seemed to be a great kid. He just made a colossal, senseless, stupid mistake.
Well, there were reports that he's been driving like a lunatic for years. Some women had tweeted going out, you know, felt like Henry nearly died driving with Henry Ruggs, or he drives too fast. And if you look, his cars have historically been
pretty flashy.
Yeah,
he has a sports car, but is he the only NFL player or professional athlete who has a sports car?
It's pretty clear he's had a need for speed for a while. I'm not crushing Henry Ruggs. You know, Carr was kind of right. Listen. He needs people at a time like this. He's just ruined his life. He's going to jail. He's gonna have to
ruin several lives. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's no excuse for what he did, and he deserves to go to jail for what he did. But to make it seem like the Raiders, oh, all they do is draft bad guys. All they do is draft bad apples. Like, that's not the case. You know, they missed on a plenty of guys in the draft, especially that 2020. I think they had 5 picks in the first 2 rounds, and only one of them is with the team right now still. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Fine, they missed on some picks, but just it's not fair to conflate Henry Ruggs' situation with the Damon Arnett situation because Damon Arnett, you know, we saw this one coming. I don't think anybody would have been like, yeah, I always knew that Henry Ruggs was the kind of guy to get drunk off his ass, drive 156 miles an hour down the side street and seriously injure his own girlfriend and kill somebody. Like, I don't think that's something that people were talking about with his draft evaluation.
Yeah, the you're right. Their draft, I just looked it up, 2020. And listen, Mike Mayock's daughter works at Fox Sports Radio. We know her. Nice person. I've interacted with her. She was super nice. Mike Mayock, I like him as a draft analyst. His 2020 draft. Now, again, I don't know if he was pulling the strings or this was Gruden, who you know is a star guy, loves to grab stars. First pick, Henry Ruggs, probably in prison. Damon Arnett, second pick, also first round, has been released because he threatened someone, a fan, with a gun. The third pick, their third round pick, is a guy by the name of Lynn Bowden. Talented kid out of Kentucky. The Raiders whiffed on him so badly, Rob, he was traded before the preseason started. They drafted him, and then they were like, oh my gosh, this guy's a nightmare. He is way too loose of a cannon. What the hell did we get ourselves into? And they traded him, before he had taken a preseason snap. That's how I
drafted him in the third round, traded him for a fourth rounder before he ever played a snap.
Like, I don't know if it's possible. I mean, this was 2020. This is not that long ago. I mean, I guess you could blame the pandemic scouting reports, but I don't, Rob, the Raiders are a mess.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I know it's NFL season. November, awesome NFL time, college football. But I just need to do a couple minutes on the NBA. You guys know, if you needed me to, I could just riff on the NBA because the storylines are phenomenal. First of all, shout out to my guy, Steph Curry, another 50-point 10 assist game because this is what he does. I know people take superstars for granted now, like they do that with LeBron a lot. I'm just thrilled that I was able to move out to the West Coast in 2016 just in time to watch like all the Steph Curry games late. You know, if you're living on the East Coast, guys, Curry tipping late all the time, there's a good chance you didn't see a lot of his highlights. Now, yeah, YouTube exists and you can just go watch him splash 9 threes against the Hawks. No problem. But to see it in real time, to start getting texts from guys like, oh my gosh, Curry has 25 in 14 minutes. You need to turn this on. Like, it's pretty fun. And it's just a joy to watch Steph Curry. It really is. I love that guy. That being said, you know it's a wild night in the NBA when he has 50 and 10 and he's not one of the top stories. This Jimmy Butler Jokic thing is pretty phenomenal. Now, Rob G and I are kind of on different sides here, I think. But to recap, if you haven't seen the highlights, Jokic and the Nuggets were up big. Jokic had a triple-double, and it's late in the game. Jokic dribbles the ball up the court, is going to like bump into a guy to like take a three from half court, ha, ha, ha. And Morris, kind of one of the Morris goons, who you know we love to rip on this podcast, basically decks Jokic, a cheap shot. That's a definitely foul, probably was going to be a flagrant. And the ref blows the whistle. Well, Jokic is seething mad, super angry, and just runs his entire body right at Morris, who had turned his back, and just decks him like a shoulder blade into Morris. And now Morris is a big dude, but Jokic is like 6'11", 270. The guy is enormous, okay? And Morris clearly was injured. I would not be surprised if he's out for a little while. Jokic is going to get suspended, but it sets off this melee of, you know, the usual NBA, like pushing and gesturing and jawing, you know, the typical stuff. No, these are millionaires. I don't expect them to throw punches like there's some guys at a bar. And then the camera pans to Jimmy Butler, who is talking to someone and gesturing, let's go to the parking lot right now, you B-A-M-F, blah, blah, blah. And Jimmy Butler's heated. He's like backing up, like, let's go. Come on, let's clap in his ear. Let's go to the parking lot right now. Let's go. And you guys know I have a soft spot for Jimmy Butler, okay? I had a Fox Sports Radio Saturday show for the longest time. And, you know, probably one of my top 50 takes was I would take Jimmy Butler over Kawhi Leonard. And a lot of this was when Kawhi was, like, quote-unquote injured with the Spurs. But Butler is just one of these guys who you have to respect. His story is legendary. He was not, like, a 3- or 4-star recruit. Okay, this guy was like a no-star recruit in Chicago, had to go the JUCO route, was some obscene number, like, I don't know, like the number 250 or whatever number JUCO player. Not on anybody's radar. Somehow gets into Marquette. Had to fax his letter of intent. Yeah, they used fax machines back then. From a McDonald's. Okay? Jimmy Butler is a guy who came from nothing. Gets to Marquette in like year two. He's like Big East, all first team Big East. Okay. And falls, I think, to the second round, Rob, you can check that, of the draft. And Jimmy Butler, you know, first season averaged like 1 point per game, nothing, whatever. By like season three, he's like an all NBA guy, all-star, awesome defender. And he's like integral in the Chicago Bulls. Like, I love stories like that. Guys who overcame massive odds, got paid. Jimmy Butler, by the way, got the Heat to the finals in the bubble. Just historic stuff. I'm a huge Jimmy Butler fan. Awesome talent. And he's worked hard for everything. He's a dog on defense. And he's a bad ass mofo. Not a guy I would mess with. Now, you guys have told some stories about Steven Jackson, the a guy who is retired now, but he got in several fights in the NBA. He knows Jimmy Butler well. Steven Jackson, by the way, probably, and I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way. I probably shouldn't even say. Anyways, Steven Jackson is an intimidating character. Although when I worked with him, he's a softy and super nice and friendly, and you're like, wow, this is Jimmy Steven Jackson is like a big scary dude when he's talking trash on the court. And then you see him at Fox, you know, we're sharing a dressing room. He's like the nicest guy telling all these stories. He doesn't fake the funk. And I know a lot of people think these NBA players don't really want the smoke. Some of them don't mind it. And I don't think Steven Jackson's ever walking away from anything. And I think Jimmy Butler's in that deal. Like, he's not afraid of anybody. So I absolutely loved him talking trash to the Jokic brothers. And if you haven't read the story about the Jokic brothers, poke around. They are some large Serbian gentlemen who are just, you know, guys who are like Olympic level dudes in terms of toughness and wrestling. And they're just huge. And if Butler was talking to them, oh, that just makes the Jimmy Butler legend grow even larger.
Am I supposed to respond? I don't know what to say to that.
You know, I just want to talk to you because I know your thoughts on the NBA and all these studio gangsters.
No, Jimmy Butler is one of the guys who was not a studio gangster. But everything you said about Jimmy Butler is true. I don't want to dismiss anything about Jimmy Butler. He's one of the legitimate tough guys and also a good guy. You know, I have nothing negative to say about Jimmy Butler. The premise of this whole discussion, though, is what I have an issue with. Like, this all started because of the Jokic-Morai twin. I know you say Morai because you never know which one is which. Getting their little squabble at midcourt. Now, the Morris twin started with a little chicken wing to Jokic's ribs. You know, it was clearly meant to send some kind of I don't know what the message was because they were getting killed by Jokic, but it was clearly meant to irritate and send, like, hey, a physical message to him. So as soon as he turns his back, Jokic hits him with a cheap shot, and it was a cheap shot. But this is where I had an issue. As soon as the Morris hits I know Jokic is a big guy, but he does not move fast. So even with a running start, he's coming at you at, like, what, 11 miles an hour or whatever it is. And he clips you in the back, and you would swear that the Morris twin got shot. Like, he was down for the count. He got up, and then I was like, oh, no, I'm back down again. I just can't breathe. I'm out of here. Like, it just illustrated the difference between NBA players and, like, football players, because those kind of hits happen every other play in football. I know the guys have pads on, and you can make that qualifier, but they're also coming in full speed sprint every time these collisions take place. And you know what happens? They're down on the floor for 3 seconds. They get up, line up and do it again. Line up and do it again. Line up and do it again. This happens one time in the NBA, and this guy's laid out for minutes. and then you know, again, I don't want to take a shot at Jimmy Butler, but when all of this happened and everybody's, you know, breaking it all up after this went down, Jimmy Butler is standing within 4 feet of Nikola Jokic, not saying anything to him. He's just standing there watching as the guys are breaking things up. And it's not until later that he gets real agitated. So it makes me think that he wasn't really mad at the act. He was mad at somebody else off the screen.
You know how that is. It's the tough guy from the outside yelling trash talk. Hold me back. Hold me back, guy. You know that dude.
Yeah. And so, look, man, I know Jimmy Butler's not one of those guys, but as a whole, as a league, as a profession, NBA players are the biggest studio gangsters in all of sports.
Oh, jeez. That's harsh. Extremely.
It's not fair because you brought up two guys who were, like, legitimately tough guys. Like, I know Jack a little bit too. You know, we've had him on the radio show. I think I've met him once, and yes, he is a very tough guy. But you can count, it's single digits how many legitimate tough guys there are in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, again, these guys have been the biggest guy. If you are 6'10", 250, and you throw a punch at somebody, I mean, you're going to inflict some major damage, Rob. If you're 6'7".
Not necessarily. Because most of these guys, okay, for two reasons. Number one, 95% of people do not know how to throw a punch. You can think that you do because, you know, you got in a fight one time in sixth grade and you punched the kid and he fell over. So you think you know how to throw a punch, or that, you know, you're not afraid of getting into a bar fight. But if you ask anybody who actually, you know, studies boxing or martial arts or anything like that, they'll tell you nobody knows how to throw a punch. None of these regular guys. That's number one. Number two, when you're 6'7", 250 pounds, like, I know that that sounds big, but these guys' arms are 3.5 feet long, so they can't really get a good, you know, compact motion, number one. And number two, they're so tall that they're actually thinner than what you think that they are. Most of these guys, when you see them up close, like, we've had Matt Barnes, you know, right after Jackson. We have Matt Barnes in studio several times at Fox Sports Radio. He's 6'7", I think he's like 225.
Yeah, he's thin.
But he looks like he wears a medium shirt. Like, he's tall and skinny. Versus, you know, we've had Terrell Owens. We've had, you know, Greg Jennings. And these guys aren't even big guys, like, as receivers. But you just see how much thicker they are. Like, there's a difference between 5'10", 220, and 6'7", 220. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, Greg Jennings, by the way, now is like a bodybuilding champion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is a legit tank. But, yeah, no, I've hosted radio shows with Matt Barnes, and he is the most soft-spoken, nice guy. And then on the court, though, you know, he's one of those dudes who, you know, the switch flips, and he's a different guy. And some people have that. I know a lot of guys like that, actually, who play basketball. It's like, ooh, that's a different you on the court. But I don't know. I'm sure that a lot of these guys understand, like, nobody ever wins a fight. You know, you're either going to get in trouble or you're going to get hurt. And if you're Jimmy Butler and you throw a punch, you probably going to get sued big time.
Well, that's why I said go to the back, because you're not going to throw it on the court.
In the era of camera phones, I don't know.
Well, don't you miss it? I know that we're going off topic. Don't you miss? Remember, I think this was a preseason game where Rick Fox and Doug Christie got into it, and they both pointed at the back, like, "Let's go meet in the back." Then,
they actually met in the back, in the tunnel,
and they were actually going at it. That was awesome.
Pretty boy, Rick Fox. Also, the legendary Morris twin story is when they were at Kansas. I guess there was a girl, the football player was making a move on her, and she was dating one of the Morris twins. And basically, the Morris twins decided to try to fight the entire Kansas Jayhawks football team. And, like, it was happening. Like, it was a fight that really happened. And they were just not afraid, and they were taking on multiple guys. I don't know if a Morris twin's been asked about that. Maybe can you try to get one of them on the? No, I'm just kidding. I've called him a goon on this pod too many times. Let's not do that. But yeah, I don't know. NBA's it's still early. Should we quickly wrap up with Ben Simmons or save it for later in the week? What do you think?
Trade's not going to happen. So whatever you want to do, it's up to you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know, I like Adrian Wojnarowski, Windhorst, all these guys. I don't know Sham, so I can't say anything about him. The way the media is handling this Ben Simmons thing is despicable. It's basically like a mental health issue, and they're just making a mockery of it. It's like, oh, Ben Simmons is meeting with NBA mental health people. He won't meet with Sixers mental health people. Well, we're going to fine him if he's not going to. And, like, why are we running to the media to tell them exactly what the hell's going on? In the NFL, we don't do that. Why are we doing it with Ben Simmons and the Sixers? Is the NBA desperate to get this out to, like, just keep the league, I don't know, in the ether? It almost feels gross. It's like, wait, really? We're going to just anything that happens.
That is the exact opposite take of 99% of the people in the media, what you just said. Because everybody's against Ben Simmons in the situation. Because it feels like, at least to me, that he's weaponizing mental health.
I've definitely heard that take. And the way he came about it, where I demand to be traded, I'm not showing up. Oh, you're going to find me? Okay, fine. It's a mental health thing. Like, yeah, his tact is bad, but do you really doubt that there isn't some kind of mental hurdle here?
I think he has, like, the yips, the equivalent of that, something like that.
Isn't that mental, though?
Yeah, but, you know, it's mental health, just like physical health. It's hard for people to take you seriously. Say, hey, this hurts, and you're not letting a professional check you out.
I don't know. Lane Johnson just missed, like, 2 or 3 games with the Eagles. Mental health thing. Nobody said shit. And
well,
like,
I mean, he's Lane Johnson. No, no offense to Lane Johnson, but he's not an all-star.
Okay, Calvin Ridley is like taking time off of the Falcons, like, I don't know, sitting out the rest of the season or whatever.
And yeah, but I'm sure that
I don't hear any reporting about any of it. But
I'm willing to bet that he communicated with his team who he's meeting with. And
okay,
blah, blah, blah,
so
blah.
Why is that team not leaking anything about what's going on with Ridley? The media is not poking around. But
because
just,
Calvin Ridley is not demanding a trade at the same time. So there's not already a frostiness between him and the Atlanta Falcons where they have no reason to not believe what he's doing.
Okay, so that even leads me to more hatred toward the Sixers and what they're doing. You want to trade the guy, why don't you shut the hell up and stop leaking everything? How is leaking every single morsel of what Ben Simmons is going through helping his trade value? What is that doing? Just be quiet. Just stop. Just don't tell them what's going on. It's so funny. Von Miller gets traded in the NFL. Not a whiff of it anywhere leading up. Nothing. We hear about like daily Ben Simmons meetings with mental health people and the Sixers and the NBA. Like, come on. It's disgusting, Rob.
On principle, I agree with you. In this situation, I don't. I think that what Ben Simmons is doing is despicable.
See, that's a lot of people feel that way, but they already hated Ben Simmons.
Well, I like Ben Simmons. I think that he gets a bad rap for what went wrong in Philly. I think that he's become the fall guy for a lot of other issues with that team. But, you know, mental health is real. You know, I know people who have had mental health issues. I've had some, you know, relatively minor in the grand scheme of things, mental health issues. And so it's legitimate. And for him to, you know, use it as the Kyrie Irving, well, if you guys don't do what I want, I'm going to get surgery. And he's like, oh, well, if you guys don't trade me, I'm, you know, you can't really check me if I'm not going to let your doctors check me. So you just have to believe that I'm going through something and I'm not going to report to the team.
Hey, by the way, how about the Nets? Let's give them a round of applause. If I'm going to bash the Sixers, I haven't heard anything. I don't know what's going on with Kyrie. I don't know what the sage burning situation is. All I know is the last thing out of Kyrie, the Nets aren't leaking anything, was he posted a picture of, which actor was it from The Matrix?
Keanu Reeves?
No, it was the other.
Lawrence Fishburne?
Fishburne, yeah. He posted a picture of Fishburne. And then, of course, everybody went to Google The Matrix and what Fishburne's character was and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm fine with breadcrumbs like that. Ben Simmons don't play like that. He doesn't do anything on social media. It's all for show. I don't know. Listen, NBA is kind of super interesting right now, but the NFL is just bananas, so it doesn't hold a candle to it. So let's put a pin in it there, and we'll get back. I don't think we're done with this because the Ben Simmons stuff's not going away. And by the way, the Nets really miss Kyrie Irving. Sluggish 7-4 start. They don't really have much scoring outside of KD. James Harden's still not, you know, it's like early season plump James Harden. It's not time to panic yet if you're the Nets, but like they got blasted by Chicago. Apparently the only team that could beat the Bulls is the Sixers and Joel Embiid, who is now in COVID protocol. But yeah, now we're going too deep into the NBA. All right, Rob, let's wrap it there. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.